तच्छंयोरावृणीमहे गातुं यज्ञाय गातुं यज्ञपतये दैवी स्वस्तिरस्तु नः स्वस्तिर्मानुषेभ्यः ऊर्ध्वं जिगातु भेषजम् शङ्नो अस्तु द्विपदे शं चतुष्पदे ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः. ओ डिवाइन लॉर्ड, वी प्रे टू यू एंड वर्शिप यू फॉर द वेल बीइंग ऑफ ऑल. मे ऑल मिजरीज एंड शॉर्टकमिंग्स लीव अस फॉर एवर, so that we may joyfully sing in the sacrifices and worships for you, the Lord of all sacrifices. May the medicinal plants grow in potency so that diseases may be cured effectively. May the gods rain peace on us. May the human beings, all human beings be happy. May all other beings also be happy. Om, may there be peace in our hearts, may there be peace and harmony amongst all beings, and may there be peace everywhere in nature. Good morning and welcome on this auspicious day for another opportunity to continue our study of Sadhana Panchakam, a hymn containing 8 stanzas on spiritual practices attributed to Shankaracharya. We have a nice beginning for our this morning study with the rendering of Bhavani Ashtakam by our devotees in a very nice way, setting the tone for our study of Sadhana Panchakam. Bhavani Ashtakam, as many of you know, is a hymn composed by Shankaracharya containing 8 stanzas in praise of the Divine Mother in her aspect as Bhavani. We were just beginning to study the 36th instruction. As you know, there are 40 instructions in Sadhana Panchakam, 40 instructions in 5 stanzas. Every stanza has 8 instructions. The 36th one, Jagadidam Tadbaditam Drishyatam. Shankara asks us here to see this whole world not as ultimately real, absolutely real, but as a sort of relative reality, as a projection or superimposition on the ultimate reality. The Upanishads declare that the ultimate reality, Brahman, is the only reality, the one and only without a second, which Chandogya Upanishad describes in a very expressive phrase, ekameva advitiyam. But this world of names and forms and qualities, good and bad, is being seen as real. You are experiencing the reality of the world every moment of our waking life. Then how to explain this duality? So the Upanishads say this world is a superimposition on the ultimate reality called Brahman. Superimposition is the perception of something which is really not there in place of something which really exists. It appears as if there are two different things, but there is only one thing. One thing is being seen as something which it is really not. Some examples are given in the scriptures to explain this perception of something which really does not exist in place of something which exists but is not seen as it is. The first example which comes very often in scriptures is the perception of a snake in place of a rope. A snake appears so real to the person who is seeing it as a snake. Though it is only a rope in reality, that person does at that moment does not know that it is a snake. He sees it as a snake, That person does not know that it is a rope. He sees it as a snake, and that perceived snake engenders all the same reactions, fear, in the mind of the perceiver. To him, that is the real snake. But when knowledge dawns, then that misperception is cleared, and what was perceived as snake is now seen as what really is, namely the rope. That happens when true knowledge dawns, of reality dawns. There's one example which comes very often. In another example, the world of names and forms which is being seen as real is compared to the waves, foam, bubbles, etc., all of which are really the ocean itself. The ocean remains vast and calm, unmoving, whereas the waves, foam and bubbles are constantly coming and going and constantly changing and moving. Yet another example is the perception of water in a mirage. There is no water. There is only the road or a field. But we are seeing real water as being as existing there. It's to the perceiver, the water is real. That is called superimposition or adhyasa in Vedantic terminology. Seeing something as something else, seeing something which is not there, and that perception is real. It causes the same reactions as a real thing would. We should look upon this world, Shankara says, we should look upon this world not as ultimate reality, but as a dream-like reality. But it appears so real to us. The reality of everything in the perceived world, though it is not real according to Vedanta, but it appears to be real. Where does this reality come? So there must be a power behind it, which gives this the semblance of reality. Sri Ramakrishna explains this nicely. It is the presence of the ultimate reality, substratum Brahman, ultimate reality described in the Upanishads as Brahman, that makes the world appear real. If it were not there, this world would not be there at all. If the rope was not there, then the snake would not be seen. What makes this snake appear real is the rope underneath it. That's the foundation or substratum of the perceived snake. Sri Ramakrishna explains this with a simple example. If you put a zero on the board, it has no value. If you put another zero, it still has zero only. No matter how many zeros you write, it all amounts to nothing, just one zero. But if you put a one, even if there is only one zero, it acquires value, it acquires meaning. Brahman is the one behind this world which gives it a semblance of reality. We are experiencing the reality through the five senses and the mind, reality of this world every moment of our waking state. From where that reality comes? And Upanishad says this world is unreal, jagan mithya. From where that reality comes? The perceived reality of the world is because of the presence of Brahman as the substratum, as the foundation. The world and Brahman, therefore, are one and the same thing. There are no two entities. There is only one view. In the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna, we read Sri Ramakrishna's experience of his vision when he perceived everything as pure consciousness. He was performing the worship of the Divine Mother Kali in the Dakshineswar Kali Temple. And all of a sudden, all these things melted into, lost their names and forms and melted into waves of pure consciousness. The marble floor, the door sill, the window frame, the water pot, the worship utensils, the materials, and the flowers and everything, and the wicked man standing outside the temple precincts, he himself the worshipper, everything lost its name and form. Everything became one vast expanse of pure consciousness. He explains this in his own words. He said that when a person realizes God, knows the reality, he realizes that all this is nothing but ultimate reality. So that the world is not different from Brahman. As the scriptures have said, And as the sages have experienced, in your daily life we should try to see, therefore, the presence of the same reality, same divine, in all and everything. What we see as the world of names and forms and good and bad is nothing but the absolute reality, Brahman. If everything is Brahman, then we are also that, and we are dealing with it all the time. When I see somebody, I am dealing with the Lord God present in that person. This message we get many places in the Bhagavad Gita. In the Gita, this is made simpler and clearer, when Sri Krishna in many places explains that He Himself is present, He, the Lord Himself, is present as the indwelling spirit in all the beings. Kshetrajnam chapi mam midhi sarva kshetreshu bharata. It's a very important line in the 13th chapter of the Gita. Sarva kshetreshu, in all the bodies, including animal bodies, plant bodies, inanimate bodies, human bodies, male, female, in all the bodies, mam kshetrajnam vidhi, know me to be the one indwelling spirit. That is the basis, that idea that the same divinity is present in all, and it makes it clearer, it is present to the same extent, samam sarveshu bhuteshu tishthantam parameshwaram. Not more in some, not less in others. It's visible more to a greater extent in some, and remains hidden in others, but is present to the same extent in everyone, in everything. It is that one idea, the bedrock of all Vedantic thinking. Upon that idea is built the whole system of Vedanta and what we call generally Hinduism. All our, whatever we do, the way we eat, the way we greet, the way we talk, the way we walk, the way we behave, conduct ourselves with other people, animals, plants and things, or we are supposed to. Not only that, our art, architecture, literature, music, dance, culture, and our culture, our festivals, everything has this as the one underlying idea. Why we should say, good morning, hello, how are you, namaste, namaskar, Jai Sri Krishna, Jai Ram Jiki, when we see somebody? It is because we recognize the presence of the same divinity in that other person. Why we are told not to steal, not to cheat, not to harm other animals and plants and people? Same reason. Love thy neighbor as thyself, the scripture says, but Vedanta completes it. Love thy neighbor as thyself because thou art thy neighbor. Tattvamasi, Vedanta says. That is the reason why we have to recognize the presence of the same divinity in all the beings, and remember that in all our transactions. Adhyatma chetasa, whenever we do some work, Sri Krishna says in the Gita, remember that the Lord is present in you and in the other people involved in that work situation. That is the implication. Now we go to the 37th instruction. Prakarma pravilipyatam chitibalat. Chitibalat means by willpower, by self-effort, conquer the effects of past actions. This is something difficult to understand and more difficult to accomplish. We have been told that prarabdha karma, karma which has begun to bear fruit, some of it good, some of it bad, has to bear fruit. We cannot do anything with it. It's just like an arrow released from the bow. It has to go and hit the target. You cannot stop in between. Although in the scriptures we see two people could do that one. Once the arrow had been released, we cannot go and catch it. It has to go and hit the target. But there are two people who could go and intercept in the middle and stop it. Who were those two people? Bhima and Hanuman. They were so fast, they were both Vayuputra. They were so fast that they could, once the arrow had been released from the bow, they could go and catch it in between before it hit the target and stop it, intercept it. All other people cannot do that one. Anyhow, that arrow has to go and hit the target. That is like prarabdha karma. We have done some karma in the past. Some of it is bearing fruit now, and we can't stop it. We cannot go back in time and correct our past misdeeds and make them convert them into good deeds. That is the inevitability of prarabdha experience. Now Shankara says, chite balat prakarma pravilipyatam. Try to overcome the effects of past karma with sheer self-effort. Every time we think, say, I'll do something, we create an impression. These impressions accumulate, and the sum total of all the accumulated impressions called sanchita karma defines our personality. In the very beginning of the first chapter of Karma Yoga by Swami Vivekananda, Swamiji nicely explains how our personality is formed. We ourselves sculpt our personality into what we are, impression by impression. If I am a good person, bad person, sick person, well person, happy person, unhappy person, whatever I am today is all the result of my own making. I can't blame anybody else for my suffering. It is all my own making. So squarely we should take responsibility on our shoulders for our future by doing our current actions properly and with detachment. We'll see how to do that one. Some part of these accumulated past impressions, the store of past impressions, has begun to bear fruit in the present life. The store of past impressions is so huge that cannot be exhausted in one lifespan. So a small parcel of that sanchita karma is taken and slated for exhaustion in the present life. That part of sanchita karma is called prarabdha karma. Prarabdha karma is begun, that which has begun to bear fruit. Prarabdha means that which has already begun. Prarambha, jo prarambha ho chuka hai, that which has already begun to bear fruit. The rest of the sanchita karma which is waiting for fruition in the future, and the karma that is going to be done in the future, is all called agami karma. He will give another instruction about agami karma later. Now we have no control over the impressions created by us in our past karma. We cannot go back in time and correct our wrong actions. So in general, prarabdha, the effect of prarabdha cannot be changed, as our past karma cannot be changed. So most of the events in our life are attributable to prarabdha karma, and they seem to be predetermined. In the book for Seekers of God, containing the instructions of Swami Shivanandiji Maharaj, Mahapurush Maharaj, in the course of conversation, Mahapurush Maharaj one day said that three things are predetermined in our lives. The three things which cannot be changed. There may be a little bit of leeway in regard to other things, but three things cannot be touched. They are, first of all, birth. We come to know about birth only long after we are born. If I don't like the family in which I was born, if I don't like my parents, if I don't like the country in which I was born, sorry, we cannot do anything about it. That has already happened, and it is predetermined. Before birth, I have no choice. I may have had some choice, but that's the choice I may have made. That birth cannot be changed. Second thing that cannot be changed is marriage. When I was speaking about this in some other group, they asked me, do you mean Elizabeth Taylor also, her 7 or 8 marriages were all predetermined? According to Vedanta, yes, it had to happen. The third thing that cannot be changed, cannot be touched at all in the least, no matter what we do, is death. Where we die, when we die, how we die, is all predetermined. Cannot be. Other things, we will see what we can do. They can be changed. Prarabdha karma can be good or bad. It is not good to assume. Though the connotation is prarabdha means bad. If something bad happens, we say, oh, this is my prarabdha, what to do? But if something good happens, we don't say, oh, this is prarabdha, very nice. We don't say that. We always somehow think that prarabdha means only bad. No, that's not true. Prarabdha means that part of our past karma which is bearing fruit now. Some of it is good, some of it is bad. That's why we are in this present situation as human beings. If we had done all only good deeds, then we would not be here. We would be in the heaven as gods. If we had done all bad things, then we would be in a lower birth. That we are in as human, born as human beings, indicates that we had done a mixture of good and bad things. So prarabdha can be, is a mixture of good and bad impression. Why did we do bad things? It's a good question. We know that bad things produce bad results. Good, good, bad, bad, none escape the law. As Swamiji wrote in his Sangha of Sinyasin, but why do we do bad things? Why did we do bad things? This question is an old question. Arjuna asked the same question of Sri Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. Atha kena prayuktoyam papam chariti purushaha. Why does a person do sinful deeds? Anichannapi varshneya. Though he doesn't want to do bad things. Not that we want to do bad things, but we somehow end up doing things which may cause suffering in the future. Baladivaniyojitaha. As if compelled by some unseen force, why people do bad things? Sometimes knowingly, sometimes unknowingly. The reason Sri Krishna gives is only one reason is there, though it may appear to be two. Kama esha, krodha esha, rajoguna samudbhavaha. There's only one reason. You can look at it as kama or as krodha. It's, kama and krodha are like two sides of like one coin. There's only one coin there. Look at it, one side appears as kama, look at it from the other side, look at it from the other side, it looks like krodha. It's because of kama, krodha, that we do all mistakes. We have done anyhow, so we have to contend with the prarabdha that we have accumulated, we are confronted with now. The bad effects of prarabdha, bad prarabdha karma can be mitigated by intense prayer and other spiritual practices. There is good news. Both Sri Ramakrishna and Holy Mother Sharada Devi have given us good news in this matter. We can change prarabdha, they said. Sri Ramakrishna said, a person's body, mind and everything become pure by repeating God's name. But we have to repeat God's name intensely for long periods of time. If I just do one mala japa every day and say I've done repeated God's name, that produces it. Every repetition of name produces the result. But it's so infinitesimal that our prabdha is so big in comparison, so the effect cannot be perceived. You don't see perceivable results. Holy Mother put a number on that one. She said, if anybody does 10,000 to 15,000 japa every day, then we can see a substantial reduction in the suffering due to prarabdha. She gave an example. If you are supposed to lose one arm, you'll end up losing a finger. If there was supposed to be, due to prarabdha, a big wound, like as big as a plowshare, then there will be a pinprick. It will be reduced, but it will not become zero. In the Mundaka Upanishad, we read that when one realizes Supreme Self, when Atma Sakshatkara happens, Atmajnana dawns, then three things happen. That mantra we will be studying in your Wednesday evening class. If you're not, it will come a little bit later in the third chapter. Bhidyate hridaya granthihi chidyante sarvasamshaya kshiyante chasya karmani tasmin drishte paravare. When that ultimate reality is seen, is experienced, paravare means which is both the cause and the effect, which is both subtle and gross. When that experience comes, three things happen. Vidyate hridaya granthi. All the knots of the heart are cut asunder. What are the knots of the heart? All these kama, krodha, desire, lust, anger, greed, jealousy, pride, fear, all those things. They completely go away, leaving no trace. Sabija. With root and seed, they go away. Second, our heart becomes totally pure. Second thing that happens is chidyante sarvasamshaya. All doubts will completely be resolved forever. Until then, doubts linger. No matter how much study we do, how strong conviction we develop by virtue of our spiritual practices and the grace of God, still doubts will linger until the end. Until that moment of realization comes, some doubt will be there. At that moment, all doubts will go away permanently, once for all. Kshiyante chasya karmani. All karmas will also cease to bear fruit. Sanchita karma will be wiped away, as we know from Bhagavad Gita. In the fourth chapter, Sri Krishna says, Yatha idam si samiddhognihi basma sat purite arjuna, O Arjuna, as the fire in a fire ceremony or in a fireplace reduces all wood put in fed into it into ashes, reduces it to ashes in the same way, jnanagnihi sarva karmani basma sat purite tatha. The fire of self-knowledge reduces to ashes all our karmas, good and bad and present, past and future, everything will go away, with the exception of one thing. And that one thing that that survives the dawn of knowledge is prarabdha karma, but the prarabdha karma does not affect the person. That person who has experienced self-knowledge, that person has given up long ago identity with the body and the mind, and prarabdha can only act on the body and the mind. So that person remains unaffected. Bhagavan Ramana Maharshi had sarcoma of the elbow, and apparently he was in pain from the onlooker's point of view. He was suffering. Somebody asked him, Bhagavan, do you have so much pain? How do you bear? This pain is like dream pain, he said. The dream, if a robber comes or a tiger comes, when I'm awake, if I know that it was a dream robber or a dream tiger, then I'm not afraid. I'm not affected by it. I can dismiss it as something only as appearance, not substantial. Now, in the same connection, Shankaracharya gives another instruction, 38th instruction. Napyuttaraishlishyatam. In the past instruction, he was talking about prarabdha karma. He will give one more instruction about prarabdha karma. What to do about that prarabdha karma which cannot be resolved by spiritual practices or grace of God? Still it will remain. How to deal with that will come in the 39th instruction, but we will do the 38th before that. Here in 38th instruction, Shankara says, Napyuttara ishlishyatam, become detached from future karma. Uttara means later that is going to come. Karma that is yet going to come, either because I had done something good and bad, both good and bad in the past, it has not begun to bear fruit. In the future life it will begin, or later in this life it will begin to bear fruit. Or karma that I am doing now also results in impressions which will accumulate and bear fruit in the future life. That's called agami karma. Karma which has not begun to bear fruit and may bear fruit in the future is called agami karma. Agami means that is something that's yet to come. These are like the arrows in the quiver on the back of a hunter which are waiting to be used. Prarabdha karma is the arrow which has been just released from the bow. It has to go and hit the target. No choice there. But agami karma is karma that is stored but has not begun to bear fruit. Just like the, so supposing there is a hunter with a quiver of arrows on his back, or an archer, and there are 25-30 quivers arrows in the quiver. One of them has been just released, and the remaining 24, they are yet to be used. So we can make a choice not to use them. Since the agami karma, we can escape completely because it has not begun to bear fruit. How to do that one, we already have seen, but it will come again. This agami karma is like the arrows in the quiver on the back of a hunter which are waiting to be used. The arrow which has been just released from the bow and which hits the target is prarabdha karma. It cannot be stopped. But we can refrain from releasing more arrows. That freedom to escape future suffering, that we have. How to exercise it, we will see now. In the same way, while the impressions created by the past karma cannot be erased, you can prevent further formation of new impressions. Old impressions which I have created by virtue of my past good and bad karma, that is all stored there, nothing can be done about it. Part of it has to be experienced, part of it only when knowledge dawns, it will go away. But until then I have to deal with that one. But I can stop the process of formation of new impressions. How? There are several ways to do that one. Sri Krishna gives all those methods in the Bhagavad Gita. We'll go over them. How to prevent the formation of future good and bad impressions. Even good impressions are also impressions. They will also produce good results. Good, good, bad, bad, none escape the law. For fetters, though of gold, are not less strong to bind. Even if what we call suffering, what we call enjoyment, good times, is also kind of fetter only. It is made up of gold. But we see it as not as a binding, but we think it is enjoyment, but it is also a kind of limitation. In the same way, while the impressions created by the past karma cannot be erased, we can prevent further formation of impressions by doing our present karma with detachment, as repeatedly explained by Sri Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. Why impressions form in the first place? Because I did something, and that action, whether it was in a thought level or a speech level or action level, created an impression. But we are told in the Karma Yoga theory, that if I act with total detachment, no impression forms. Karma happens, but no impression forms. How to do that one, we will study right now. If we practice detachment in our present karma, we prevent further formation of impressions, and there is no danger of future suffering in the future. This is how to become free from future suffering. How to become free from present suffering? Intense spiritual practice, japa, meditation, taking God's name, refraining from doing bad actions. How to become free from future suffering? By preventing the formation of new impressions, by doing all our present work with detachment. How to practice detachment? Sri Krishna has given a number of instructions on how to practice detachment from karma and karma phala, from our karma and its results. There are four instructions in the Gita. First instruction, dedicate, Sri Krishna says, dedicate all your actions to the divine. Mentally offer all your actions to the divine. At least four places the same instruction is repeated. Mayi sarvani karmani sanyasya, dedicating all our actions to me, the Lord says in the third chapter. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you worship, you do, whatever austerities you perform, do it as an offering to me, he says in the ninth chapter. Yat karoshi yadashnasi, that shloka has come many times. Again he says, sarva karmani manasa sanyasya, mentally dedicating all our actions to the divine as our offering. Only mentally we cannot do. Physically, how can we do? Physically, action has to happen. Fourth place where he says in the at the very end in the 18th chapter, towards the end of his teachings, Chetasa sarva karmani mai sanyasya matparaha, mentally dedicating all your actions to me. Remain firmly fixed, keep your mind firmly fixed on me, thus you will become free from all suffering, Sri Krishna promises. That is one thing, dedicating everything to God. Whatever I am doing is an offering to God. That attitude you have to keep in the back of our mind. The work does not change. We do the same kind of work. The only thing we should not do is we should not do bad actions and say I am dedicating it to God. We should not steal and cheat and tell lies, because Sri Krishna said in the Gita, dedicate everything to me, so I will do anything I like and say I am doing it for God. Now that doesn't work. Nishiddha karma has to be given up. That is the first instruction. The other instructions are based upon that instruction. So that is the most important first instruction. Nishiddha karma means prohibited actions such as immoral, illegal actions, telling lies, cheating, stealing, harming other beings. That should not be done. Using harsh words should not be done. Then there is no question of dedicating those things to God. The second instruction is doing all our work as worship of God. First thing is to dedicate everything to God. Second thing is to elevate all our actions to the level of worship. Whatever I am doing, I am speaking this worship of God. You are listening, that is worship of God. When you are eating, it is worship of God. How can eating be worship of God? Sri Krishna specifically has mentioned eating as an example of work that can be and should be dedicated to him. Yadashnasi, he says in 927. Yadashnasi. How can eating be considered as an act of worship? Because whenever we eat anything or drink anything, what happens to it? The Lord himself is present in our bodies as the Vaishvanara, the power of digestion. Aham Vaishvanaro Bhutva Praninam Dehamashritaha. In 15th chapter of Gita, Sri Krishna says, I am present in the bodies of all the living beings, in the bodies of not only human beings, in the bodies of animals and plants also. What happens to the plant? How does Vaishvanara work in the plant? You take any tree, for example, or even a small plant producing nice flowers in the garden. What is the input? Sometimes we pour water and put some fertilizer, Miracle Grow or something, and prune it and take care of the plant. Sometimes it grows in the wild, lot of wild flowers grow. Nobody puts water, only rain water and whatever nutrition it can get from the soil. Produces nice flowers, fragrant flowers. You take a mango tree, what is the input for that one? Whatever nutrition it can get from the soil, if it is cultivated, then some people may put fertilizers. If it is a wild growing tree growing in the wild, nobody puts anything, rain water and sunlight, and produces nice, tasty, delicious mango fruit. What is the power in the body of the cow that eats hay and other cow fodder and vegetable leftover peels and everything and produces nice nutritious milk? There must be some power. What is the power in the human mind, human body that takes all the food we eat? Sometimes we eat junk food also. Sometimes we eat too much food also at the wrong times. But converts everything into useful, expendable energy. What is the power? There is a power, and that is the power of the Lord. Aham Vaishvanaro Bhutva Praninam Dehamashritaha Prana Apana Samayuktaha. In association with Prana Apana and other vital forces, Chaturvidam Annam Pachami. All kinds of food we eat, the Lord digests for us. He does more work for us than what we think we do for Him. What can we do for the Lord? He is serving us 24 hours a day. The factory is going on. Digestion is process is going on because we keep eating so many times a day. So eating has to be done with responsibility, with devotion, with veneration. Reverence, we have to eat it because eating is an offering to the Lord. It is the ahuti that we give to the fire of digestion that is present in our bodies. Directly it reaches Him. Therefore, eating has to be done, and all like eating, all other actions have to be done as worship of God. That alone is one spiritual practice which takes us to the highest level of to which we are capable of rising. In the 18th chapter, Sri Krishna gives final instruction. Sakarmana tamabhyarcha siddhim vindati manavaha. Tam means Him. Abhyarcha means worshipping. Whom are we worshipping? He from whom the whole universe has come, all beings have evolved. By worshipping Him, by doing all our actions as His worship, we rise to the highest level. Siddhim vindati manavaha. Human being achieves perfection, he says. So that is the second instruction, second way to become detached, to perform all our actions with detachment. Yes, worship. When you do worship, you are offering. Worship means offering. And what He does with the worship is left to Him. We cannot dictate, I am doing this worship, therefore give me this result. Then it becomes kamya karma. We are supposed to give up such kamya karma. We are told to give up all actions which are done with the motivation that I should get something in return. Kamyanam karmanam yasam sanyasam kavayo viduhu. In the 18th chapter, Sri Krishna says, the basis of renunciation is giving up of kamya karma. That means we should do all our work without any selfish desire attached to it. Second way to give up attachment, practice detachment. Second way to prevent future suffering. No impressions are formed. Third instruction Sri Krishna gives in the Gita is, He asks us, He gives a suggestion, nice suggestion which you can all implement. Consider yourself as only an instrument and the Lord as the doer. Sri Ramakrishna repeatedly says in the Gospel, God is the doer. God alone is the tumar karma tami korama loke bole koriyami. We think I am the doer. That is sign of ignorance. Sri Krishna has strong words for such people who always think that I am the doer, I am doing this work like that. He says, ಅಹಂಕಾರ ವಿಮೂಢಾತ್ಮ ಕರ್ತ ಅಹಮಿತಿ ಮನ್ಯತೆ. ಓನ್ಲಿ ಎ ಫೂಲಿಶ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಎಗೋಟಿಸ್ಟಿಕ್ ಪರ್ಸನ್ ಸೇಸ್ ದಟ್ ಐ ಆಮ್ ದ ಡೂರ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ವರ್ಕ್. ವಾಟ್ ಡಸ್ ಅ ವೈಸ್ ಪರ್ಸನ್ ಸೇ? ಹಿ ಸೇಸ್ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಇಸ್ ಡೂಯಿಂಗ್ ಇಸ್ ವರ್ಕ್, ದಿ ಡಿವೈನ್ ಮದರ್ ಇಸ್ ಡೂಯಿಂಗ್ ಹರ್ ವರ್ಕ್. ಐ ಆಮ್ ಸಿಂಪ್ಲಿ ವಾಟ್ ಐ ಮೇಡ್ ದೆಮ್, ವರ್ಕ್ ಸೀಮ್ಸ್ ಟು ಬಿ ಹ್ಯಾಪನಿಂಗ್ ಥ್ರೂ ಮೀ. ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣ ಸೇಸ್ ಯು ಆರ್ ಮಿಯರ್ಲಿ ದಿ ಇನ್ಸ್ಟ್ರೂಮೆಂಟ್ ಇನ್ ದಿ ಹ್ಯಾಂಡ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ಲಾರ್ಡ್. ಹಿ ಸೇಸ್ ಟು ಅರ್ಜುನ, ಯು ಥಿಂಕ್ ಯು ಆರ್ ಗೋಯಿಂಗ್ ಟು ಕಿಲ್ ಭೀಷ್ಮ, ದ್ರೋಣ, ಕರ್ಣ, ದುರ್ಯೋಧನ, ಆಲ್ ದೋಸ್ ಪೀಪಲ್? ಫರ್ಗೆಟ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಸಚ್ ಎ ನೋಷನ್. ಇಫ್ ಯು ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಸಚ್ ನೋಷನ್, ಐ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಆಲ್ರೆಡಿ ಟೇಕನ್ ಕೇರ್ ಆಫ್ ದೆ. ಮಯ ವೇತೆ ನಿಯತಾ ಪೂರ್ವಮೇವ. ಆಲ್ ದಿಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಅ ಡನ್ ಡೀಲ್. ಆಲ್ ದಿ ಕವರ್ ವಾಸ್ ಆರ್ ಗೋಯಿಂಗ್ ಟು ಗೋ ಅವೇ. ವೈ ಯು ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಟು ಪ್ಲೇ ಯುವರ್ ಪಾರ್ಟ್ ಎಸ್ ಮೈ ಇನ್ಸ್ಟ್ರೂಮೆಂಟ್. ನಿಮಿತ್ತ ಮಾತ್ರ ಭವ ಸವ್ಯ ಸಾಚಿನ್. ಓ ಆಂಬಿಡೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ರಸ್ ಅರ್ಜುನ, ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಬಿ ಪ್ಲೇ ದಿ ಪಾರ್ಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಅನ್ ಇನ್ಸ್ಟ್ರೂಮೆಂಟ್ ಇನ್ ಮೈ ಹ್ಯಾಂಡ್. ಸಪೋಸಿಂಗ್ ಐ ರೆಫ್ಯೂಸ್ ಟು ಬಿ ದಿ ಇನ್ಸ್ಟ್ರೂಮೆಂಟ್, ಹಿ ವಿಲ್ ಫೈಂಡ್ 1,000 ಬೆಟರ್ ಇನ್ಸ್ಟ್ರೂಮೆಂಟ್ಸ್ ಇನ್ ಮೈ ಪ್ಲೇಸ್. ಹಿ ಗೆಟ್ಸ್ ಇಸ್ ವರ್ಕ್ ಡನ್. ಟು ಟೇರ್ ಈಸ್ ನೋಷನ್ ದಟ್ ಐ ಆಮ್ ದ ಡೂರ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ವರ್ಕ್ ಈಸ್ ಅ ಸೈನ್ ಆಫ್ ಇಗ್ನೋರೆನ್ಸ್. ಸೊ ವಿ ಶುಡ್ ಆಲ್ವೇಸ್ ಕೀಪ್ ಇನ್ ಅವರ್ ಮೈಂಡ್ ದಟ್ ಐ ಆಮ್ ಸಿಂಪ್ಲಿ ದಿ ಇನ್ಸ್ಟ್ರೂಮೆಂಟ್, ಹಿ ಡಸ್ ಇಸ್ ವರ್ಕ್. The fourth instruction Sri Krishna gives in the Gita on how to practice detachment and thereby prevent future suffering, agami karma, is to entirely give up the notion of doership altogether. In the first three levels of practice of detachment, we keep the notion that I am the doer. If not, I am the doer, I am the instrument. But the highest level of detachment is to altogether say, I am not the doer at all. Naiva kinchit karomi iti yukto manyete tattvavit. There are two verses in the fifth chapter of the Gita, verses 8 and 9, which have come many times, where Sri Krishna asks us to entirely give up the notion that I am the doer of any action. Who is the doer? Supposing I am drinking a cup of tea or water, tea is disappearing into the body, and you ask me, Swamiji, what are you doing? I give the answer, I'm drinking tea, and you all accept it as the right answer. But Sri Krishna says, it is a wrong answer. Who is the doer? Where is the I? There is no I at all in the whole picture. But I put the I where it does not belong and say, I'm the doer, therefore I must be the enjoyer of the fruits of action also. When I have kartritva, I have bhoktritva also. So Sri Krishna says, entirely give up the notion that you are the doer. The notion that I am the doer is a sign of ignorance. Pashyan srinvan sprishan jigran ashnan gachan swapan swasan pralapan visrajan grinnan unmishan nimishan api. All actions that an ignorant person does, walking, talking, speaking, eating, etc., the jnani also does, wise person also does. What is the difference? The jnani says, I am not the doer, naiva kinchit kurami. The ignorant person says, I am the doer, I am karta. That is the difference. So if we practice that attitude that I am not the doer, action, then how is action happening? We have to explain that the action. Action is happening. I am saying I am not the doer. But how is the action happening? Who is it? There must be somebody that must be doing it. The explanation comes in the second line of the ninth verse. Indriyani Indriyarteshu vartante iti dharaya. All actions happen by the interaction of indriyas. Indriyas including the mind, 11 indriyas, sense organs, 5 of action, 5 of perception and the mind. One or more of them are involved with one or more sense objects. Where is the I? I'm not the indriyas, I'm not the sense organ, I'm not the sense object. I put the I where it does not belong and say, I am the doer, therefore I must be the enjoyer, recipient of the fruits of my action. There is no kartritva, there is no bhoktritva in reality. It's all misperception. If you clear that misperception and take the position, I am not the doer, it's very difficult. That's why it comes at the end. The first three instructions are easier to practice. This is difficult, but can be kept as a high ideal. Naiva kinchit karomi. Why am I not the performer of actions? According to Vedanta, we are the self, we are the Atman, we are not the body and the mind. In a beautiful hymn that has come many times, Shankaracharya has sung Nirvana Shatkam. Mano Bodhyam Karachitta Ninaham न च श्रोत्र जिह्वे न च घ्राण नेत्रे. I am not the sense organs, I am not the eye, I am not the ear, I am not the nose and hands and feet, pani padam. What am I? Chidananda rupa shivoham shivoham. I am that Chidananda rupa shiva. I am the absolute reality. I am that absolute bliss shiva. Where is sense organ? They all belong to nature, prakriti only. All actions happen at the body, mind, sense organ, sense object level. I am none of those things. That position, if we take, there, where is the kartrutva? Where is doership? And where is past karma, present karma? No karma is there at all. All karma only accrues at the body, mind, sense organ level. So that is the ultimate step of practicing detachment. If I am not the doer of karma, then the results of karma also do not affect me. I am ever free. I am the self. That's a difficult position to take for most of us. Therefore, Sri Krishna has earlier given simpler instructions. Do whatever you want to do. If you want, you can keep the notion that you are the doer. If you cannot get rid of the notion that you are the doer, keep the notion you are the doer, but reduce it to the level of an instrument. Nimitta matram bhava. If you cannot do even that, all right, go ahead and say you are the doer, but do it as an offering to me. Do it as my worship. See, there are different levels. Sri Krishna has given us different instructions on how to practice detachment. By practicing detachment in our present actions, what happens? We do not accrue new impressions. Therefore, we ensure against future suffering. If we don't create any new impressions, then there is no possibility of them bearing fruit in the future. Agami karma will become free. That is the 38th instruction. Two more instructions are there. We will try to complete them the next session. Now I will say the closing prayer. Om sarve bhavantu sukhinah, sarve santu niramayah, sarve bhadrani pasyantu, ma kaschid dukkha bhag bhavet. Om shanti shanti shantihi. Om, may all be happy, may all be free from suffering. May all realize what is auspicious. May no one be subject to misery. Om peace. May there be peace and joy in our hearts. May there be peace and harmony amongst all beings. And may there be peace everywhere in nature. Harihi Om Tat Sat Sarvam Sri Ramakrishna Arpanamastu.